we're thinking about expansion, when does the market turn, when does supply stop being so tight? This report provides no evidence that we're there.
From Virginia Farm Bureau, this is Cattle Pulse. It's August 2025, and I'm Elijah Griles in Richmond, Virginia. On this episode, we take a deep dive into our July cattle inventory report and look at the incredible strength in the feeder cattle futures markets. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Cattle Pulse. I'm really excited for all of the great content that we have for you today, one part of which is an interview with Dr. Josh Maples from Mississippi State University, who also is one of the authors of the Cattle Market Notes Weekly newsletter that I often reference on the podcast. To get started, let's take a look at our feeder cattle futures contracts. The August contract is at $332 a hundredweight, which is up 8.9% from a month ago. The September contract is at $331 a hundredweight, which is up 9% from a month ago. And the October contract is at $330 a hundredweight, which is up 9.4% from a month ago. To unpack the national economic picture and how that is affecting our feeder cattle markets, as well as fueling these incredibly high futures contract prices, I sat down for a deep dive interview with Dr. Maples earlier this week to discuss the cattle inventory report, our futures contract numbers, and his conversation with producers at the Virginia Beef Cattle University, which I hope many of you all were able to attend. So here's the interview. Dr. Josh Maples from Mississippi State University is here with us today. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thanks, Elijah. Yeah, I will just say a quick thank you to all the cattle producers and groups in Virginia. I had a fantastic time at the Virginia Beef Cattle University last week. It was just excellent.
I'm definitely excited to hear a bit more later about what you shared with the producers at the Virginia Beef Cattle University. And I've definitely heard great reports from everyone that I've talked to who attended the event. We'll dive right into our July 2025 cattle inventory report first. Now, the report estimates that cattle inventories were at 94.2 million head, and that's down 1.3% or 1.2 million head from 2023 when we last had one of these mid-year reports. Was this drop in inventory in line with expectations, and what does this mean for our cattle supply expectations and prices as we move into the second half of 2025?
The numbers were not surprising. In general, what I think has been going on, that we're slowly kind of stabilizing the herd numbers, but we're certainly not in any period of rapid expansion yet. Putting that together with what does it mean for the rest of this year? You know, still really tight supplies, Elijah, and really strong prices. Because of those tight supplies. I think 2025 is our stabilization year. I think we could be at January 1 and be pretty close to level on beef cow numbers from a year ago, but this is certainly not 2015 where we started really seeing rapid expansion take off.
That's definitely a helpful picture of the overall situation. I know in these reports, they break down the inventory with different categories. There are several numbers noted. The cows and heifers that have calved, those were at 38.1 million head, which is down 0.8% from 2023. Beef cows were estimated at 28.7 million head, down 1.2% from 2023. Our calf crop was estimated at 33.1 million head, down 1.3% from 2024. And lastly, our beef heifers held back for replacement were estimated at 3.7 million head, which is down 2.6% from 2023. Now, among those numbers, which of them stands out the most to you and why?
Two numbers stand out the most, calf crop number in particular. Not that it was unexpected. You know, we knew this was going to be, you know, our smallest calf crop in a long time just because we started the year with fewer cows. We haven't been holding back heifers. And then the other number really is that heifer retention number. You know, heifers held back for beef cow replacement, you know, lower than we were a couple of years ago, lowest level that we've seen in really, really, really long time. You know, when we start talking about what's going to turn this market, we're really looking at, when are we going to start expanding? And you're only going to expand in two ways. You're either going to hold back more heifers to produce more calves, or you're not going to cull as many cows. And I think we are starting to see the latter. We're certainly not culling as many as we have been the last couple of years, but we are not yet holding back, you know, by and large, many heifers to be beef cow replacements. And so I think that's the number that, you know, really told me the most from the July cattle report was producers have not yet really started holding back heifers. 2025 very likely could be the seventh or eighth consecutive year of fewer heifers held back. We haven't seen that turn yet. And so if we're thinking about expansion, when does the market turn? When does supply stop being so tight? This report provides no evidence that we're there.
Anything else you want to mention before we move on from the cattle inventory report?
I'd like to touch just briefly on the cattle on a feed report, if that's okay, which is really interesting when paired with the cattle inventory report. Percentage of heifers in feedlots jumped back over 38%. You know, we'd seen a drop down last quarter and everybody was like, are we starting a trend here? Are we actually going to see this number creep down? Are people really starting to hold back heifers? Because when people do start expanding, they do start holding back heifers, that necessarily means they're not sending them to feedlots. So they're staying in pasture. And so that's another piece of data that we look at to try to tell us things about expansion. That number creeped back up. 38% is historically a high number. We've been hovering there for the last five, six plus years. For reference, you get back to 2014, 2015, when we were really, truly expanding in earnest. That number was down closer to 33%, 34%. So whenever we do start expanding again, Elijah, we'll see that number drop again. It hasn't yet. It's another piece of information that tells us people are still sending a lot of heifers to be feeder cattle. They're not holding back as many heifers to be replacements for their beef cows. That is just another piece to tie to this to say that expansion did not happen in first half of 2025 by any measurable level. Only thing that you can really look at to suggest that beef cow numbers are going to be flat, which I do think they will be, is we're not culling as many. So we're not going to cull near as deep as we have in recent years primarily because of drought. So I do think we're stabilizing, but this is a very, very different end of cycle than we saw in 2014.
That is a helpful comparison for sure. You mentioned coming up to the Virginia Beef Cattle University last week. What was your key message to producers there?
I was with the group 2 days before these reports came out. And so I started out the presentation by saying, look, this is the most uninformed time of the year for me to be talking about cattle supplies, but relieved in that kind of a lot of what I said, the reports backed it up in terms of, you know, I didn't imagine we were expanding very rapidly, if at all. The cyclical nature of this business, I really do believe that we're going to expand again. I think the odds are much more likely in 2026 than they are second half of this year. And so those are kind of some of the messages I was sharing. I was laying out the fundamentals of supply. We spent quite a bit of time on beef demand, which was a really fun discussion with that audience. Really good questions. Beef demand's still really strong. We talked quite a bit about how, you know, per capita beef consumption is going to go down. It's already down. It's going to be down next year. That doesn't mean that consumers don't like beef. It means that we're not producing as much beef. And I think what we've seen over the past 20 years, but even more recently, consumers have become less price responsive to beef. And so what that means is we're seeing these really high prices for beef at the grocery store, and consumers are still buying it. Demand has become a little more inelastic than it was, you know, 10 years ago.
I couldn't agree with you more, and that's a really strong position for our producers and industry to be in. I know I just can't help but talk about feeder cattle futures contracts before we wrap up. Obviously, we don't do a lot of hedging here in Virginia with the sizes of our operations, but we do have livestock risk protection available, and that is based on those futures prices. I looked earlier today, our feeder cattle futures contracts were in the upper 330s. What are your thoughts on this? Is this speculator hype? Is it going to affect the prices that we see at the stockyard? Should producers be buying livestock risk protection? What's your take?
it's a whole lot more fun to do price risk management when expectations are high than it is to wait until they're not high. If you're doing any sort of stocker operation where you're, you know, buying cattle and intend to keep them for, you know, a couple of months, consider LRP, consider futures. For the cow-calf producer, if you're a fall calver, consider using something like LRP to protect yourself against those spring sales that you might be anticipating. In a lot of ways, Elijah, it's a bit of a no-brainer right now to at least think about this. Now, everybody's risk preferences are different. Some people just like to be very risky. Nothing wrong with that. We're just all wired differently. These are just incredible prices and incredible price expectations, and you can lock yourself in at some really, really strong levels with a tool like LRP. Or if you're bigger, you can do something with futures and options. That advice ignores whether this is speculator hype. It ignores all the other things that are actually driving the market. And that's intentional, because when you do some sort of price risk management, you can kind of remove yourself from those other things. So you're not worried about volatility in the market, you know, fluctuations. You know that you've got some level of protection there. Yes, prices are incredible right now. It's not totally unexpected given how tight supplies that we have. Yeah, I think producers are going to be really happy with the prices they see at the sale barns or wherever they sell in a couple of months.
I agree. Definitely a lot of price risk management options to consider out there. And we will see if we see our seasonal bump here at the end of the summer for our feeder cattle auctions here in Virginia. That's all the time we have together today. Dr. Josh Maples, Mississippi State University, thanks so much for the conversation. I've really enjoyed it.
This was great. I really appreciate the chance to chat.
We'll take a look at what our feeder cattle markets did here in Virginia in July in just a minute. But first, I do want to offer a point of clarification from the July episode of Cattle Pulse. At production time for the July episode, I noted that USDA had announced the phased reopening of the feeder cattle imports from Mexico with the New World screwworm fly limitations that had been imposed earlier. Now, that was originally announced on July 7th. On July 9th, after our production deadline, USDA actually announced that all southern border ports would remain closed. So I apologize that old information was included in the last episode. The border does remain closed to Mexican feeder cattle imports as of recording this episode on August 1st. Now, let's take a look at our weather and climate outlook before we discuss those prices. Drought Monitor shows that we are once again, probably unsurprisingly, 100% drought free, although I know we are also 100% heat index values all across the state. So it's definitely been a hot one in July, but also lots of moisture, that high humidity, although hard on cattle and hard on gains, has definitely been keeping the rain falling throughout the month. Don't worry, we are going to get a brief reprieve, probably as you're listening to this episode, but the Climate Prediction Center says it won't last for long. Their August outlook shows a 33 to 40% chance of above average temperatures in July statewide, with a 33 to 40% chance of above normal precipitation in the northern half of the state, and a 40 to 50% chance of above average precipitation in the southern half of the state. All right, let's get to it. The numbers. Our monthly average price for those five weight steers, medium and large one, in July at Abingdon Tri-State was $365.70 a hundredweight, down 0.5% from a month ago. At Blackstone, $360 a hundredweight, down 0.94% from a month ago. At Lynchburg, $363.50 a hundredweight, up 0.6% from a month ago. At Radiant, $385.80 a hundredweight, up 3.3% from a month ago. At Shenandoah Valley, $352.50 a hundredweight, down 8% from a month ago. At Winchester, $381.80 a hundredweight, down 3.4% from a month ago. That gives us a statewide six market average of $368.20 a hundredweight, down 1.5% from a month ago. So we do see this slight drop off in July, but this is very expected with the seasonal trends we typically see for these five weight steers. That's all the time we have together today, folks. Thank you so much for joining us for this August episode of Cattle Pulse. I do want to hear from you. Please email me your questions or topic suggestions to elijah.griles@vafb.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next month. Have a great week.